These guys at the GCRN would make great Green Lantern Corps members. Seriously. Who are these guys?
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips. Today, I'd like to welcome to the program BJ Williams, a pop culture superhero classic sci-fi aficionado who also hosts the Pilot Podcast. Welcome, BJ.
Hi, thanks for having me. Hi, everyone. BJ Williams from the Pilot Podcast. You can find us at thepilotpodcast.com.
So, aside from my long-winded introduction, what can you tell the listeners about yourself?
Sure. So, I think I'm just like an average geek. Happen to also be a scientist, so when it comes to the sci-fi angle of things, I can be a little critical just due to my background. Also an avid fan of TV. You know, after you're working all day, you got to relax somehow. And what better way than to basically tear apart and review the pilot episodes of TV shows and decide if these people are doing a good job.
That's actually really interesting that you mentioned that you're a scientist too.
Yeah, it comes up a lot whenever we see like medical related shows or science fiction shows where I start asking myself, is that really how it would work? Like even in a fantasy show, I start to question, does that even make sense?
Yeah, because there seems to be a lot of that in television of just kind of throwing things and seeing kind of what sticks with really anything, especially in a pilot. A pilot's very raw and full of issues too. And so they don't really do their full due diligence, usually, on research on whether it's possible or not.
Exactly. A lot of times they might not have the full concept for the show set down because maybe they don't know if they'll get a full season. And because of that, they'll really just throw out anything in that first episode.
So what are some that you've specifically noticed or just on a whole that... whether it be a particular genre of series that seem to have the most flaws with them.
Right. So I'd say two main genres. The first one, which I'll be honest, I'm not an expert in, but anything involving time travel, I feel like you're just asking for trouble. Continuity, what are your rules? Can you change the future? Are you going to an alternate timeline? All of that can get very messy. But some shows do it well. There's things like Russian Doll, which is a new show that came out. I think they do a good job of having a time loop that kind of makes sense as you're reiterating each time. And I think a lot of things related to kind of health. So there's a lot of things I'm thinking, Night Flyers or The Passage. These are some new shows that came out where they're talking about kind of messing with your brain and enhancing genetics. And I actually did biomedical research. So when you start talking about genes, that's when I'm really like picking up on that's not a real technique or that doesn't actually apply to the human body.
That has to be annoying just sitting there watching and knowing that it's just totally full of crap in certain situations.
It can be frustrating, and it's what makes it more annoying is that you can tell they put in a little effort because they'll use related terminology or real scientific words, but the way they kind of string it together or the situation they're applying it to, it just makes me want to like rip my hair out. But I just have to step back, have fun, ignore their logic.
See, I have fun with, I don't pretend to even understand remotely any of the stuff when they're talking about the brain or like the superhero type information, although those come from the comics, they're still not based in reality in any stretch of the means. But I have, the one I do have fun with is time travel because I like trying to play around with the chronological aspect of it in my head, trying to put together the canon and try and see how it may have connected despite the paradox or the ripple effect.
Definitely. I feel the same way. Whenever I watch time travel shows or movies, I'm trying to piece it together in my mind. And then I start asking, I wonder if the writers wrote this all down. Like, do they know the timeline, or is this just the fans that care about it?
Now, are you a fan of Star Trek?
I hesitate to say yes, because you might ask me some trivia questions. So
I would be gentle, but I know entirely too much about it. That's a separate podcast I host. I only bring that up because time travel is that kind of one constant in just about every series, mm-hmm. where they tend to play around with that, either falling back in time, messing something up and having to fix it, or, having a undesired future and certain members going back to the past to alter it, to make it have the events unfold as they would like to see it. Mm-hmm. It gets very confusing if you're not familiar with the canon to begin with.
I can see that, yeah.
Although I will say one of the best knocks that they hit with canon in their time travel was not only pretty much in the Star Trek films. Star Trek IV, they use time travel to go back and get some whales, which kind of a lame premise.
But
but, you know, they bring it back to the future and it's like, oh, the whales talk to an alien probe, we're saved. And then it goes on its merry way. But probably the best example would be First Contact with the Borg going back in time. Mm-hmm. And there were some that were frozen in the more or less ice caps. And don't feel bad if I'm glossing over this, but there's an episode of Enterprise which takes place like 100 years after the point where the Next Generation crew went back to. Mm-hmm. And inadvertently awaken these drones that are frozen in ice from during that timeline. So it's kind of interesting how they play that into it. But some of the technologies, however, despite the timeline, seem to not line up in that show.
Yeah, that can be annoying. I always think about the new episodes of Star Wars when it comes to technology, like episode 1, 2, and 3, everything looks really shiny and cool. And then you get to 4, 5, and 6, and it's like, I know the Empire took over, but you guys threw away everything?
It's all hand-me-downs.
Apparently, like, we're not manufacturing anything new except more replicas of Death Stars.
Although they get shiny again in 7 and 8, so.
Yeah, there's some people found some money. Now we can have shiny new stuff again as we retread all of the old storylines.
Yes. We'll
but
see.
That's another, yeah.
We'll see how episode 9 comes out.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, I'm going to see it anyway, so like, doesn't matter if I complain or not. They have my money.
Yeah. What are some of the films that you're looking forward to that are coming out in 2019 that you think could have potential problems or could be good? Or I realize you're probably going to see them regardless of your thoughts, because that's my mentality on it.
Yeah, unfortunately. Well, you know, I don't mind. I'm going to see a lot of movies this year, regardless if they're good or not. I am interested to see Avengers Endgame, how they're going to wrap that up, how they're going to explain everything. I have a feeling they're going to go the less is more approach when it comes to details and just leave those open-ended questions for fans to go crazy about. And I'm fine with that. I'm also very curious if the Dark Phoenix movie is actually going to come out and what that's going to mean for the future of the X-Men movie universe. I have very low expectations for that film, though.
I'm very much looking forward to seeing the how Captain Marvel ties into. I'm more curious about, like, you know, Nick Fury and Coulson being in it, but and Captain Marvel, and seeing how her character kind of jumps into the Avengers timeline. But I'm very invested in Endgame, regardless of what happens. And then I have a weird time travel fan theory on the Spider-Man movie Far From Home, which I think ties into Infinity War.
Okay. Do we know when Homecoming is set?
Like, they haven't really said, and that's okay. Why I'm playing with this headcanon here. Until we see otherwise, I'm thinking that originally when we see Parker on the driving across the bridge in Infinity War,
mm-hmm.
in the bus, which they're in a bus again in Far From Home. And I'm wondering if it technically was that same point where he was going on this trip and then inadvertently got pulled into the Avengers battle with Thanos. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking that that's where that happened. And because of whatever they're going to do in Endgame, it's going to retcon Infinity War completely. Oh. And so... more or less, he'll never get that Iron Spider suit. He'll still be in his other suit, and everybody's life will move on in their merry little way. But there's no mention of Stark in the Far From Home. So I'm wondering if it was like an ultimate sacrifice type thing, and Far From Home takes place during the point of where Infinity War would have taken place.
Okay, so kind of like after Endgame, when they fix everything, we'll kind of rewind. And then Far From Home will kind of start from that new point in the timeline.
Yeah, essentially, you know, erasing the snap and the bloodshed of the whole Infinity War battle. So I think it takes place during that same point. But we won't know until after Endgame and until Far From Home comes out. But that's my theory.
I like that theory. I think that's a nice, clean Disney Marvel way to kind of like save everyone and start fresh with some new plot lines.
Only time will tell. It is Marvel. So
true. This will be an interesting year for Marvel. I am also excited for Captain Marvel, and that, I don't know if there'll be time travel there, but we are going to go back in the past. I'm wondering how that's going to cross over with movies we've already seen. If we'll see any other superheroes besides, Coulson, because I guess Captain America was frozen at that time. Was anyone around in the 90s?
I don't think so. They I don't even think possibly Banner and Hawkeye, yeah, and Black Widow, but I don't think because Stark didn't have his bomb explode yet, or
yeah,
Cap was still frozen, and Thor hadn't crash landed yet.
Oh, so I guess she really can be the star in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Which makes it nice for her whole 90s-based website.
Yeah. Okay, I have to ask this question since we've gone deep into Marvel. Do you like Hawkeye as a character?
I really don't know. My exposure, like, I grew up on DC, so...
Oh.
My exposure to Marvel was like the 90s animated series,
mm-hmm.
of like Spider-Man and Fantastic Four and Iron Man. And so I'm familiar with those and like the Incredible Hulk as well. But so I'm familiar with those shows of the 90s, but I'm more of a DC fan overall. But my main exposure to the Marvel characters has been the films. And I don't think we've really had Hawkeye fleshed out enough to really get a vibe of who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that he's kind of like that tertiary character that, yeah, he kind of matters, but you saw how much he mattered when he wasn't in Infinity War.
Very true. I think you have a very a fair approach to assessing his character, while I take the very harsh, you don't seem that important, yet they keep bringing you back. I don't understand.
Well, I think it's the we got to get the original band back together type thing for the new movie. Because, yeah. You know, everybody else is dead.
True. I guess they have limited numbers.
And but... they do have Rhodey. They do have Rhodey.
Yeah. It's like every sidekick is now on the A-team.
Well, they've got the original Avengers, and then they've got War Machine and Ant-Man. So, yeah. Which that was an unforeseen one until the trailer, which is kind of a nice way of bringing him into the fold of changing things up.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I feel like he is underappreciated and underrated as a superhero.
It'll be interesting to see them explore the quantum realm, too, I think.
Yeah, that's where things could start to get confusing. I hope that... Actually, I'm confident they've planned this out well enough that they'll make it easy for us to understand as well.
Or they'll put so much action in, we won't have time to even concentrate.
Exactly. A cool battle, then it's over, and we won't even ask questions.
You know, like the whole Battle of Loki. So what are some of your favorite superheroes, whether it be of the 90s or of now?
So I am a 90s child of the 90s. So my first exposure to superheroes was actually the Power Rangers. So that they will always hold a special place in my heart. And I thought the recent movie was acceptable. But I think nowadays I've moved on to Marvel. I didn't really keep up with them growing up, but the Marvel Universe has taken over, and now I'm a big fan of Thor and Captain America. I think those are my two favorites. And I'm actually looking forward to Shazam. I don't know much about his character, but I'm looking forward to this movie because I think it's going to be a fun take on the superhero film with some good humor, kind of like Thor. He adds some good funny moments.
See, I didn't even like Thor, the films, until we get to the third one, because they added in the fun. And it was serious, but it wasn't like taking itself too seriously to where it wasn't enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And Ant-Man can be a little bit over the top, but it was fun and enjoyable as well. And I think Shazam is going to be along those same lines for DC, which will be a welcome addition considering everything's dark brooding and just, you know, that whole tone.
Yeah. As a DC fan, how do you feel about the DCEU?
I never really was a fan of the DCEU. I was kind of glad to see the Justice League come together, although the movie was hot garbage.
Yeah.
it didn't help that DC and Warner Brothers constantly was interfering with the directors and the writers every step of the way, and having so much... They weren't really allowing their creative control to be let go of. Mm-hmm. Enough, like saying, look, this is our overarching guideline, you know, you just have to connect point A to point B, but, you know, as a whole, this, you know, have fun with it, you know, kind of like what they've done with Marvel, you know, it's kind of, you know, we have to hit this note, but do what you're going to do, you know, and so I think that that's kind of the missing point in why you've seen so many actors bail on the characters, or why there's so much delays, or... I mean, just look at the whole debacle with Batman. I think Affleck would have done really well at it had they actually let him play the character.
Yeah, I liked him in the role. He didn't have the best scenes to act out, but I thought he fit well as Batman.
I think so, too. And he fit really well as Bruce Wayne, although now we're going to get to see what they do with the Batman. And the only nice thing that we'll get out of it is... we'll get to see finally the detective part of him,
mm-hmm.
instead of the brooding, you know, beat him up or boohoo, my girlfriend died.
Yeah, he's very mopey, a mopey vigilante, and I feel like they should add a little bit more to his character in the films.
I want to see more of the Arkham games, I guess.
That would be entertaining. Do you think we'll ever get another Superman film, solo film?
I think so. I don't know if it'll be Henry Cavill.
Oh. Poor guy.
Which is unfortunate because they should have just done solo films for all the characters and then just had a culmination film.
Mm-hmm.
Or started them all out in a Justice League film. Instead of coming together, they're already established and then just going off in their separate directions.
Yeah, but they had to catch up to the Avengers. There was no time for solo films.
I guess the only thing they beat him out on is they did make Aquaman relevant, and they did do the first superhero female film of Wonder Woman.
Yeah, those are their two highlights so far. And I was actually surprised how cool they made Aquaman seem, because on paper, not that impressive, talking to fish, breathing underwater.
Every time I see him, I see the old 1970s Super Friends.
Yes.
The wah, 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 wah. And then he just starts talking to fish.
And he did that too.
So I don't know. I think the implementation in live action is so much better in this instance. So what prompted, what kind of drove your fascination with pop culture, and whether, you know, classic or modern or any of that?
I'd say being an only child and having a lot of free time to watch TV, surf the internet, and play video games. I think one of the things that brings me into pop culture and why I like to stay up to date with it is that I'm always thinking about new ideas. You know, you're a podcaster as well. You know, it takes some creativity to put out new episodes, come up with new content. And I think that also makes me want to engage in what other people are doing. Obviously, there's certain niches like superheroes that will stick out to me more, but I definitely like to engage in other people's ideas. And I think that also inspires me as well. So I think that's kind of what draws me into pop culture and drives me to want to stay updated about what's going on in different genres.
I can definitely see that. I've been into pop culture since the early 90s when I got my first taste of Batman comics, Ninja Turtles on television, the old 90s DCAU and, you know, X-Men and the Marvel cartoons, and then the original Power Rangers on through to Zeo is when I watched, and so the old school crew. And
why'd you stop? There's so many more seasons.
I did go back and not necessarily watch every episode of every season, but I have gone through and kind of blitzed through some of the series to kind of catch up. And I love the crossover episodes with past crews and modern ones.
Yeah, that's always fun.
Like Forever Red, or the Megaforce episode was kind of but it was interesting. And then the most recent one where they had Tommy and the Megamorpher and kind of jumping between his different characters against the Robo clone and.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's been interesting. I've enjoyed what they do with it, and I think that it'll get more interesting now that Hasbro has the rights to it.
Yeah, I think it's going to improve now that Hasbro is taking over, and I think they are willing to put in a little more money than Bandai was.
Oh, definitely. Hasbro's got some dough.
Yeah.
even seeing their Toy Fair figures, they look crazy impressive.
Yeah, and they're always ready for a new franchise, especially since I feel like Transformers is hitting a rocky point where Bumblebee didn't really reignite things like they might have hoped.
I don't think it reignited, but I don't think it flopped either. But I definitely like the direction that they went with it. I just think they should have done that 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I'm glad you're thinking about that now. Hopefully you'll keep trying so we can get more movies like that.
But they are having more new series. There's going to be a new one on Netflix. So.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yes, a new Netflix Transformers cartoon. Since Machinima went belly up, they had to find a new partner for the animation, and so they have Rooster Teeth and Netflix as partners for that. So
that should be pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Remains to be seen what they do with it, but you know, could be worse. Yeah, could be Cartoon Network.
Yeah, Cartoon Network or even Nickelodeon. I mean, I feel like those are the biggest two options for these children programs, but neither of them handle some of these shows very well.
No, especially Cartoon Network. They seem to botch a lot of series.
Yeah, and their like schedule. I have all these flashbacks to Adventure Time and how they would just break up these seasons over an entire year and just randomly throw out episodes. Like, they need more respect for the fans.
Yeah, totally. And that was one thing that's kind of irked me about Cartoon Network for years, is that it seems like they get their hands on something and then they kind of put all the effort into it for the first season. And then after that, they're like, death slot.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put everything on the other content that they have that's original to them. So what are some projects that you have coming up or some episodes that you're working on?
Yeah, so our most recent episode, I think, might work well for your fans as well, is the Umbrella Academy on Netflix. We have some interesting thoughts, my co-host and I, when we go over that episode. It's some cool superhero elements with a nice dark twist and some time travel as well. So like everything I love criticizing. And then next week we're going to do some more mainstream things, seeing some new shows on NBC, Fox, ABC, a lot of procedurals, but you know, sometimes a good procedural is fun. It just kind of lets your mind unwind. So those are our upcoming pilot episode reviews that we're planning. And there's also a potential for a new project where I don't have too many details, where we might do kind of a radio show style podcast where we're going to tell a long form story through different episodes. So that's something that might come up in a few months.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely be interested in hearing that too. Original content is always a fun thing to get to listen to.
Yeah, and it's fun to create as well.
Definitely. Then you get to have like a whole voice cast and.
Yeah, it could become something pretty big, but I'm excited to see where that goes.
Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
So how can the listeners get a hold of you and find out more about you and your podcast online?
Sure. So the easiest way to find us is to go to thepilotpodcast.com. That's where you can find all of our episodes, all of our social media links. We're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook. And you can also subscribe to us on iTunes and Google Play. So check us out.
Awesome. Definitely do that, guys. And I'd like to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to hang out with us here on Altered Geek.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
Oh. Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series where we review noted directors' movies film by film. Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.